opportunity again to fellowship with one another and to fellowship around the written word. Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, that there is no confusion, no disparity, no darkness in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of life, revelation, and insight in the name of Jesus. We are taught and instructed, corrected by the word, and we are better and we grow thereby in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we give you praise, for we know it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. So, last week, we began something, right? We began looking at the subject of faithfulness, right? And we saw quite a number of things. We have a lot to look at today as well, so we'll just jump right into it. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. He says, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. And remember, we saw last week that in the scriptures, is a benefit. Hallelujah. And the benefit of the scriptures is actually doctrine. Remember that, right? Okay, it says the scriptures, or all scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Hallelujah. Then reproof, correction, and instruction using the TSS rule of Bible interpretation will be further explanations. Right? So reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness will be the products or the result of doctrine. The profit of the scriptures is teaching. Amen. So in that teaching, you'll have reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you see the end result of Bible teaching, right? It has an end goal. Remember, we saw that last week. It's to correct your behavior, rectify your behavior, right? And also, if you take verse 17, well, you know, if it says every good work there, that would refer to ministry. Amen? So, you are taught, amen? You are convinced, you are corrected, you are instructed, and the end goal is ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. So, taking these text as our platform, we can say that in those scriptures we learn faithfulness, right? We can learn faithfulness from the scriptures. We can be corrected, we can be instructed, amen, concerning the subject of faithfulness. And we saw the Laodicean church last week, if I'm not wrong, Revelation 3, amen. And we saw these guys that are usually called the lukewarm church, amen. And we explain how they are lukewarm, right? You know, he said, you are neither, Jesus told them, he said, you are neither hot nor cold. And you know, some people have said, hot means to be very fervent, right? Then cold means you are doing nothing at all. But we said that's not true. In context, both cold and hot are positive, right? Because remember, Jesus Christ used their surrounding, their environment to teach about their physical, spiritual state. Amen. Is their physical environment to teach about their physical state. We have Colossae, remember, here. We can see at the left hand. Amen. We have Hierapolis here at the right hand. Then we had Laodicea in the middle. So in Hierapolis, we have hot springs. Remember that, right? That heal the sick. Then in Colossae, we have cold water that quenches thirst. So here, there is a benefit, right? One water quenches thirst, another water heals the sick. But in the middle, we have Laodicea. Amen. And we said last week that the waters from both Colossae and Hierapolis run down, okay, to Laodicea. And you would think that because of this, these guys are very lucky. You know, they have all that they need because they have both cold water and hot water coming down. But, you know, that's not true. By the time the water got down, it was already lukewarm, nauseating. You know, flies had perched on it. So the what was coming down to Laodicea was waste. Amen? Lukewarm water. Amen? So, good for nothing. Basically. Do you get that? So when Jesus Christ says, I'd rather you be hot or you be cold. Do you get that? He is trying to use the environment around them to explain their spiritual state. He said, look at Hierapolis. At least these ones, there's cold water, right? Warm springs, rather. In Colossae, there's cold water there. But you, there is nothing. The water around you is just like you are spiritually. Amen? Lukewarm. So, lukewarm doesn't mean you are doing little. I know it has been interpreted like that. You know, you are lukewarm. You are not really doing so much. No. Lukewarm actually means you are doing nothing. Amen? Lukewarm means good for nothing in that context. Amen? So, Jesus Christ instructs these people, you know, instructs them that, I remember we saw that they are materialistic. He said, we are rich and we have need for nothing. So, he's letting them know that, see, you claim you have everything, but you're actually not impacting your society with the gospel. Amen? You've let your love for money, your love for the things of this world, material things, cloud your judgment. Amen? So, that was to correct that habit of the Laodicean church. I thought that was clear, right? Okay. Thank you very much. And, you know, we said that God wants faithful men. Amen? Men who can impact their society for God. Amen? Only faithful men can impact their society for God. Amen. We also saw a picture of what faithfulness is in Exodus 17, verse 10 to 12, particularly verse 12, you know, which records Israel's battle against Amalek. Now, observe verse 11. Exodus 17, verse 11. It says, and so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. That's Exodus 17, we're in verse 12 now. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, and the other on the other side. Do you get this? Do you get this? Okay, thank you. And his hands were steady. Do you see that? Until the going down of the sun. And we said that what Moses did with his hands in verse 12 was a picture of faithfulness. He says his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. The word steady used here, it translates the Hebrew word emunah. E-M-U-N-A-H. E-M-U-N-A-H. Emunah. Now, that word means faithfulness or steadfastness or fidelity. Amen? So, the Hebrew text can be better read this way. His hands were faithful, okay, until the going down of the sun. Are you seeing that? Okay. So, it is interesting that the same Hebrew word that was used for faithfulness is used for Moses' hands. Remember, I saw that last week. So, this paints a picture to us of what faithfulness is. Just like Moses' hands were steady until the going down of the sun, faithfulness is remaining as you are till the very end. Hallelujah. It is remaining steadfast till all is said and done. Faithfulness will be seen in a consistency of loyal character or fidelity till the very end. I'll come again with that. Faithfulness would be seen in a consistency of loyal character or fidelity till the very end. Amen. And we try to answer what till the very end means, right? In the last teaching. Very funny. Somebody's here to the night. Amen. You know, till the very end is the very end. Amen. Putting it in clear terms, death. Amen. So, as long as you are alive, you are to remain faithful. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? So, till the very end is till the very end. Till all is said and done. Hallelujah. You know, so we looked through the Old Testament scriptures last week to see how that Hebrew word emunah was used. We saw in Proverbs 28 verse 20, we saw that faithfulness has its rewards, right? In Proverbs 28 verse 20, it says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Do you see that? So there are rewards for faithfulness. In Proverbs 12 verse 22, it tells us that God loves faithful people. Amen? God loves faithful people. He says those who deal truthfully, and remember that word truthfully is emunah, right? Okay. Those who deal faithfully are his delight. Amen. So God delights in faithful people. We also saw last week how the Jews were continually rebuked for their unfaithfulness. You see that in Jeremiah 7 verse 28. You see that in Jeremiah 9, 1 to 3. You know, they were continually rebuked, the Hebrews, the Jews, for their unfaithfulness towards God. So unfaithfulness is a trait that cannot and should not be applauded. I'll come again with that. Unfaithfulness is a trait, is a character that cannot and should not be applauded. You should not cheer for an unfaithful person. Unfaithfulness should be frowned at. Amen. Okay, and we also saw faithfulness in offices in 2 Kings 12, 13 to 16, 22 verse 7, where it says of the temple workers that they were faithful. Amen. We also saw last week that saying you are faithful without actually being faithful in character means nothing. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 23. It says, fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. Do you see that? It says, he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. Verse 25, when he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Do you see that? So for folks who only have sweet mouth, that's what I like to call it, amen? You know, sugar-coated mouth. It says eventually their wickedness will be revealed. It will show. Just give them time. Amen? It says, fervent lips with the wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. Now, I like the way the Amplified Version says it. It says, let me read it to you, Proverbs 26, 23, the Amplified Version. It says, like a common clay vessel covered with the silver dross, making it appear silver when it has no real value. Do you see that? Burning lips, murmuring manipulative words, and a wicked heart. Do you see that? Let me come again with that. Like a common clay vessel covered with the silver dross, making it appear silver. Do you see that? So it's pretending to be what it's not, right? Okay. When it has no real value, burning lips, murmuring manipulative words, and a wicked heart. Hallelujah. Okay, so this describes a hypocritical lifestyle. Amen. You know, very similar to how Jesus Christ describes the Pharisees. Look at Matthew 23 verse 27. It says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs. Do you see that? Which indeed appear beautiful outwardly. Do you see that? But inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So what is within is not what is without. That's what hypocrite means. The word hypocrite in the Hebrew, in the Greek, pardon me, literally means one that wears a mask. Amen. Ojuju kalaba. Amen. You know, is pretending to be who is not. Hallelujah. Okay? So he calls them hypocrites. Luke 11 verse 39. You know, Jesus Christ talks about the Pharisees again there. He says, look in Luke 11, 39. He says, then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward parts is full of what? Greed and wickedness. Do you see that again? So, describing a hypocritical lifestyle. Amen? So, a believer should not be this way. No. A believer should not be hypocritical in his lifestyle. And also, leaders should be mindful and careful of such people. Amen. Let me say it is that it is faithful actions from a faithful heart, not only faithful words, which is true faithfulness. Amen. It is faithful actions from a faithful heart, not only faithful words, which is true faithfulness. You know, some people are very good at that. Very good at that. You know, manipulative words. I remember years ago, there was a fellow, you know, he came to me saying, you know, all sort of nice eulogies. He said, "Sir, I love you." Amen. "Sir, I am ready to die for your ministry." Amen. "I will do anything." He said, "You can bank on me as a faithful man." Amen. You know, and I was just looking at him and smiling. You know, I was just smiling. Let me tell you something about myself. I'll come back to that story. Let me tell you something about myself. If you know something about your pastor, I'm very observant. Okay? You will realize that very soon. I'm very, very, very observant. That's just the way I am naturally. You know, I will just be looking at things quietly. I won't say anything. I'll just be looking. Okay. I won't say anything. I'll just be observing. You know, that's me naturally. Okay? Now, on top of that, I'm now a lawyer by training. Amen? You know what that means? It means that, you know, I'm taught in my profession to be able to cross-examine. Amen? My profession teaches me how to be able to tell who is lying and who is not lying. Do you understand? That is my profession. You know, that's what I'm being taught to do. Amen? You know, now, upon that again, I'm now a believer. Amen? So, as a believer, I have the Spirit of Christ, right? Okay. Now, in that Spirit of Christ, there are revelation gifts. Revelation gives the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. So I can supernaturally be able to tell what is going on. Do you get that? So combine those three things together. That's Josh Banks. Amen. So most times I'll just sit down and be observing. I say, okay. Just say whatever you want. I'll be smiling. Because you know that's the way you cross examine. You make the witness think you is deceiving you. Do you understand? That's the way you cross examine in law. You have the evidence against him, but you let him lie. Just keep lying. Don't mind. I'm looking at you. Amen. This fellow, busy, you know, say lying through his teeth, "I love you, sir. Hey, you are my man of God." You know, and interestingly, just a few days ago, someone had sent me evidence of him trying to sabotage our ministry. Amen. I don't mean yes, oh, when somebody said, you know, somebody told Taye told Bola, Bola told Bayo. No, those kind of things. I mean, hard proof, you know, text messages, chats of him trying to say all sorts of things about me and the ministry. Somebody sent that to me days ago. This same fellow was now in front of me saying, "I love you. You are the best pastor in the world." I was smiling. Then, weeks later, I sent him the chats. I said, "Okay, now please explain this to me." You know, it was back then. Huh? Back when? The date is there. The time is there. Your name is there. Your picture, in fact, is there. Say, it was back then. You know, you have to believe me. I said, you are not faithful. You are not faithful. What are you? Fervent lives with a wicked heart. Eventually, it will show. Just give it time. You know, I know what I'm telling you. It will show. Amen. So, as a pastor, you need to be very careful. Amen. Very, very careful. Know those who are really, you know, for you, for your ministry, and those who are using manipulative words. He calls it earthenware covered with silver dross. That is, earthenware doesn't have value. You now cover it with silver dross. It's not silver, it's dross of silver. You know what dross is? Dross is impurities. So even what you're covering it with doesn't have value. So both what is inside and the words are invaluable. Amen? So don't be like that. Say, "I'm not like that." Say, "I'm faithful." Say, "I'm faithful." Amen. So, very important. And, you know, lastly, we saw that God is faithful and his faithfulness is independent of us. Amen. Whether we are good, whether we are not, God remains the same. Hallelujah. So we can learn from him. God remains the same regardless. So we'll look at that very well, okay, at the course of this teaching. But it must be very clear to you. God is a faithful man. Hallelujah. So, basically, that is it for the word emunah. Okay, that Hebrew word emuna. So today we want to examine another Hebrew word used to describe faithfulness. You know, we've seen emuna, right? So now today I want to see another Hebrew word used to describe faithfulness. It's the word Hauman. Hauman. A-M-A-N. A-M-A-N. Hauman. That's another word used to describe faithfulness. Okay? Now, if you're writing, let me teach you how to write subheadings. Just write Aman. Amen? On top. So you know you started another discourse, right? Okay, thank you. Now, it means to be firm. The word Aman means to be firm or lasting. To be firm or lasting. It was used for one who is secure enough to trust. It was used for one who is secure enough to trust. Such a one has a consistency in character. His behavior is lasting and firm, unchanging. Therefore, it can be trusted. I come again with that. Such a one has a consistency in character. His behavior is lasting and firm, unchanging. Therefore, it can be trusted. Now, of course, it's always good to use the physical when you're trying to explain the immaterial. Now, observe how this word Auman was used in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28, verse 59. Deuteronomy 28, verse 59. It says, now, it's not positive. It says, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues. Do you see that? Great and prolonged plagues and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Deuteronomy 28:58. It says 59, pardon me. Great and prolonged plagues and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Now, the word prolonged used here in the Hebrew is the word Hauman. That same word. So, what does prolonged plagues mean? Now, obviously, it would mean long-lasting plagues, right? Plagues that will continue for a very lengthy period of time. We can say consistent plagues or faithful plagues. Are you seeing this? So, regardless of what you try to do, they will not stop. Are you following this? That is the same word Auman used here. Amen? So, he's describing plagues that will not stop or change no matter how much you try to get rid of them. So, obviously, you know, this explains faithfulness to us. Right? Remember, just like Moses' hands, right? Now, this is another image to explain faithfulness to us. Faithfulness, or Hauman, refers to that sure, consistent, and secure character of being trustworthy. It refers to that sure, consistent, and secure character of being trustworthy. It is prolonged and never stops. It is prolonged and never stops. That is, our man describes a lifelong commitment to fulfilling whatever promise has been made. The Hebrew word Hauman describes a lifelong commitment to fulfilling whatever promise has been made. So a person who is our man will be committed to the very end. Are you following this? Are you following this? All right, thank you. Now, of course, this word Auman was used for God. Amen? Look at Psalm 111, verse 7. Psalm 111, verse 7. It says, the work of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. Do you see that? They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. Are you following? Verse 9, it says, he has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Do you see that again? Holy and awesome is his name. Verse 7 is our word. When he says, all his precepts are sure. The word sure there is the word Auman. Okay? His precepts are stable or consistent. Hallelujah. So, Auman describes that which stands forever. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. It says, therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God. You see that? Who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. With those who love Him and keep His commandments. You see that? So God is faithful. He is consistent. He is trustworthy. He remains as He is, even to 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. So God's faithfulness is seen in the prolonged stability of His character. Hallelujah. God's faithfulness is seen in the prolonged stability of His character. Nothing, whether good or bad, changes who He is. Nothing, whether good or bad, changes who He is. That's what our man means. Amen. Now, that same word was used for men. Look at Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 13. Proverbs 11, verse 13. It says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Do you see that? A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So here you see two kinds of individuals you can tell a secret to. Okay? Two kinds of individuals you can tell a secret to. One is called a talebearer or a gossip. Amen? The other person is called a faithful person. So, Proverbs is saying that your faithfulness is tested in how you handle secrets entrusted to you. Are you feeling this? Your faithfulness is trusted in how you handle secrets entrusted to you. An unfaithful person cannot be trusted with secrets. Amen. He has no control over his mouth. But a faithful person will help protect the privacy of others. A faithful person will help protect the privacy of others. This is a good friend. This is a good church member. Hallelujah. He doesn't delight about gossiping about other church members or about leadership. Are you following this? So, a faithful person will help conceal matters that will bring disrepute to others. I'll come again with that. A faithful person will help conceal matters that will bring disrepute to others. You know, this is a show of love. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, Peter says, and above all, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. You see that? Love will cover a multitude of sins. So when you are loving, when you are a loving person, someone who walks in love, you can be able to keep people's secrets. Amen. You know, people's lives are trusted. I remember someone said it, and I really love how he said it. He said, let the integrity of a believer be trusted in the mouth of another. Amen. Let the integrity of a believer be trusted in the mouth of another. Amen. Peter tells us that someone who covers another's multitude of sins is someone who walks in love. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 13. Proverbs 25, verse 13. It says, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Faithful there is a man, don't forget. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Now, what does cold of snow mean? It refers to a Jewish custom of cooling drinks with snow during summer. Okay, in the Jewish custom, they had a tradition of cooling their drinks. Okay, you know, back then they didn't have technology like we have today, so it's a substitute for refrigeration. Okay, so they would cool drinks with snow during summer, in the summer heat. Okay, the time of harvest. So that cool drink will now be used to refresh the soul under scorching heat. Are you following this? Okay, so Solomon uses a simile here. A figure of speech. He likens a faithful messenger to a cold drink on a hot day. Are you following this? A cold drink on a hot day. Today we can say like cold Zobo. Amen. Cold Tampico. Amen. Cold Smooth. Amen. In a hot Nigerian sun. Amen. He's a faithful messenger. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So that is just as a cold drink would quench thirst and refresh, so is a faithful messenger to his masters. Hallelujah. He is a source of joy and pleasure. Why? Because he can be trusted to do his job well. Hallelujah. A faithful man can be trusted to do his job well. Now we see an opposite of this man in Proverbs 10. Please turn there. Proverbs 10, 26. You see the opposite of a faithful man in Proverbs 10, 26. He says, as vinegar to the teeth. Do you see that? As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes is the lazy man to those who send him. Do you see that? So, vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes are imageries of troublesomeness. So, such a person makes his masters angry and offended because he cannot be trusted. His actions cause grief to those who send him. So, you are not to be like this servant who is the cause of trouble to his leaders. No, you are supposed to be a cause of joy. Amen. Someone that is trustworthy, someone that is reliable. You know, ask yourself this question: can pastor count on me? Amen. Even when it's inconvenient. You know, it's easy to be faithful when it's convenient. But when it's inconvenient, then you see the true side of the person. So ask yourself, can pastor count on me anytime? You know, if the answer is no, then you are an unfaithful servant. You know, an unfaithful servant is known by excuses. An unfaithful servant is known by excuses. He is always giving reasons why he cannot do what he has been asked to do. That's an unfaithful person. Always giving excuses. Don't be like that. What did I say? Don't be like that. Now, we see other people, you know, called our man or faithful in the Old Testament. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 22, verse 14. 1 Samuel 22. Verse 14. It says, so Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who among all your servants is as faithful as David? Do you see that? Who is the king's son-in-law who goes at your bidding? Do you see that? Faithful, right? And is honorable in all your house. Hallelujah. So David is called faithful by Ahimelech. Amen. He remained faithful to Saul, who sought to kill him. That's faithfulness. Amen. You know, even when Saul sought to kill him, he remained faithful to Saul. Amen. Look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13, verse 13. Nehemiah 13, verse 13. It says, and I appointed as treasurers over the storehouse Shelemiah, the priest, and Zadok, the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah. And next to them was Anan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mathaniah, for they were what? Considered faithful. Do you see that? And their task was to distribute to their brethren. So here we see Nehemiah appoint men over the storehouses, okay, of the house of God, and only because they were trustworthy. Only because they were faithful. Amen? So only faithful people can be trusted with responsibility. Hallelujah. Only faithful people can be trusted with responsibility. Look at Numbers 12. Numbers 12, verse 7. Numbers 12, verse 7. It says, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Do you see that? So Moses is called faithful. Now, contrary to Moses, Psalm 78 records those who were unfaithful to God. Please turn there. Unlike Moses, Psalm 78 records those who were unfaithful to God. Psalm 78 from verse 8. It says, and may not be like their fathers. Their fathers, they are the Jewish fathers, okay? A stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set his heart aright, and whose spirit was not what? Faithful to God. Do you see that? So they were not faithful to God. Are you seeing this? Look at verse 34. of the same chapter, verse 34 of the same chapter, it says, when he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Verse 36. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. Can we say fervent lips is the wicked heart? Right? Verse 37 tells us, for their heart was not steadfast with him. Do you see that? Do you see that? Nor were they faithful in his covenant. So they only came back to God when they needed something. Are you seeing this? That's not faithfulness. That's hypocrisy. Okay? They came back to God when they needed something, but their hearts were far away from him. Amen. So the Jews are bad examples. Amen. These Jews are bad examples that we must not emulate. Amen. We are to be faithful both to God and both to man. Hallelujah. So do you get that word, Aman? Is it clear? Okay. To be steady in character. Hallelujah. Now let's look at another Hebrew word used to describe faithfulness. If you are writing, remember, right now this is a subheading. Okay. Another Hebrew word used to describe faithfulness is the word emeth. E-M-E-T-H. E-M-E-T-H. Emeth. Now, this word emeth means true. Amen? It means true. It is used for words or actions which correspond to reality. It is used for words or actions which correspond to reality and thus are reliable. Words or actions which correspond to reality and thus are reliable. It is used for what is certain or verity. What is certain or verity? When it comes to emeth, there is no facade. Amen? You mean what you say. Your actions are not pretentious. Are you feeling this? You mean what you say. Your actions are not pretentious. You can be trusted. Amen? So a faithful person will not lie in what he says or what he does. Amen? That is what the word emeth is saying. Okay? A faithful person will not lie in what he says or what he does. Now, of course, this word was used for God, right? Look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 6. Are you there? Exodus 34, verse 6. It says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in what? Goodness and truth. Wherever you see truth, in the Old Testament, most times it's immense. Okay? Faithful character. Reliable character. Amen? We can say abounding in goodness and faithfulness. Are you following this? Now, you would observe that, particularly in the Old Testament scriptures, the words mercy or goodness then and faithfulness are often used together for God. The words mercy or goodness and faithfulness are often used together as a compound phraseology for God. Now, there is a reason for this. Okay? There is a reason for this. Now, let's examine this a bit. The Jews usually use the word Yahweh for God. Okay? The Jews, they often use the word Yahweh. You know how to spell it, right? Y-A-H-W-E-H. Yahweh for God. Now, Yahweh was the covenant name of the Lord with his people. Yahweh was the covenant name of the Lord with his people. We see it used in Exodus verse 3. Please turn there. Exodus 3 verse 13. Exodus 3 verse 13. It says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say to them? Verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Hallelujah. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Do you see that? Verse 15. Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Hallelujah. And this is my memorial to all generations. Hallelujah. So I am is Yahweh. Amen. I am is Yahweh. Now, some have tried to explain Yahweh as the self-existent one. Have you heard that before? The self-existent one. That's what it means, okay? Some have tried to explain it like that. The self-existent one or the self-sufficient one. Amen? And they are correct. But let me just add something to that. You observe that the context in which God revealed that name to Moses has to do with something different. It means the self-sufficient one, okay? The self-existent one. But observe the context in which God revealed that name to Moses. Look at verse 15. Please, I want you to look at your Bible, okay? It might be a bit technical. Verse 15. It says, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of what? Your fathers. Underline that in your Bible. Your fathers. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name for what? Forever. Now why? He says, and this is my memorial. Do you see that? To all generations. So he calls himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That is why he is Yahweh. Now, why does he call himself this? To show his unchanging character. Please look at your Bible. Okay? To show his unchanging character. He is the God who made promises to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and was faithful to fulfill those promises. Do you see that? So, Yahweh is actually to show that God's character doesn't change. Hallelujah. He is faithful and consistent, therefore, he can be trusted. Do you see that? So, the context in which Yahweh was used is the God who makes promises and fulfills his promises. Are you saying this? The God who made promises to the forefathers of the Jews, okay, the Jewish or Hebrew fathers, and was faithful enough to fulfill it. Amen. So it speaks of God's unchanging character. Hallelujah. And this is also why in the Old Testament you see that God is often referred to as a rock. God is often referred to as a rock. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He says, he is the rock. He is, now not Dwayne Johnson, amen? His rock is, pardon me, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, amen. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Do you see that? Do you see that? So he is a rock and he is a God of truth, hallelujah, amen. A God of faithfulness, look at verse 15. Of the same chapter, he says, but Jezreel grew fat and kicked. You grew fat and grew thick. You were obese. Then you forsook God. Pardon me. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Do you see that again? So God is called a rock. Look at Psalm 18, verse 2. Psalm 18, verse 2. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Hallelujah. Isaiah 17, verse 10. Isaiah 17, verse 10. He says, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not been mindful of the rock of your salvation, of your stronghold, pardon me. Do you see that again? Therefore, you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. Amen. So God is called the rock of your stronghold. Now, what does it mean is a rock? It means that God is secure. Hallelujah. God is secure. Just like a rock that doesn't move anywhere. Do you see that? So God is immovable in his character. That's what it means. Amen. Go and come back in 10 years, it will remain the same. It will remain that way. Okay? Just remember, you know the way a rock looks like. A rock is just there. Okay? Go. You know, where it's come rain, come shine. It's like that, staring at you. That's why it calls God rock. Do you get that? His character doesn't change. Hallelujah. No, this speaks of the immutability of God. That's what is called in Bible interpretation. It's called the immutability of God. Okay? So God is immutable. Now, this is why God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh. In Exodus 3, 6, and 15. Amen? He is the Lord who made promises to them in grace and is faithful, that is, he is secure, trustworthy enough to fulfill them. Hallelujah. So, what God said to the Jewish fathers, he would fulfill to them. This is the very basis of faithfulness in the scriptures. God said, and God will do. Amen? The faithfulness of God is the basis of faithfulness in the entire scriptures. That God said, and God, what God said, God will do. And this is why God's mercy and God's truth is immense. His faithfulness are usually combined in the scriptures. Now, I'll tell you why. God's mercies makes the promises. Okay? Then his truth, his immense, or his faithfulness fulfills the promises that he makes. Do you get that? That's why mercy and truth are always used together most times in the Old Testament for God. God's mercy makes the promises, then his truth fulfills that promise that he makes. Look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 10. Are you following so far? Okay. Psalm 25, verse 10. It says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Do you see that? Mercy and faithfulness. Now, what does that mean? To such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Do you see that? Do you see that? So, he is the one who makes promises and fulfills them. Are you following? Look at Psalm 57, verse 3. Psalm 57, verse 3. It says, he shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Do you see that again? Okay. Psalm 85. Psalm 85, verse 10. He says, mercy and truth have met together. Hallelujah. It says, righteousness and peace have kissed. Amen. So it speaks about God. It says, mercy and truth have met together. Hallelujah. Look at the next chapter, Psalm 86, verse 15. It says, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in what? Mercy and truth. So, mercy and truth are used to describe the God who promises to do something and doesn't fail to do it. Mercy and truth are used to describe the God who promises to do something and doesn't fail till he does it. Hallelujah. So, he is committed till he accomplishes what he has said he will do. That's faithfulness. He will remain loyal. Are you following? And since Yahweh, so we can say he who remains loyal, right? Okay? So since Yahweh is faithful, his faithfulness is now the guarantee of the new covenant, which is everlasting. Okay? Yahweh's faithfulness is now the guarantee, okay, of the New Testament, which lasts forever, which is everlasting. Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 24. Psalm 89, verse 24. It says, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Verse 25. Also, I will set his hand over the sea, and his right hand over the rivers. Verse 26, he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Verse 27, and I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. You know, this cannot be talking to anyone except the Messiah. I hope you know. Okay? Thank you. Verse 28, my mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall what? Stand firm with him. Hallelujah. Amen. His seed also I will make to endure. Hallelujah. And his throne as the days of heaven. Amen. So this is a messianic prophecy speaking of the son of David, or Jesus, right? Okay, the seed of David, Jesus, and his new covenant. Verse 28 explains that this covenant will stand firm and Yahweh's mercy will be kept forever. Hallelujah. So this speaks of the eternal nature of the new covenant. Okay, it speaks of the eternal nature of the new covenant, the New Testament. It fulfills his promise to the fathers and keeps his fulfillment forever. Hallelujah. So the promise to the Jewish fathers is actually salvation. Are you following this? Remember I told you this when we what teaching was that? I can't remember now. You know, the promise to the Jewish fathers is actually salvation, the giving of the Spirit in the New Testament. Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3:13. Please turn it very quickly. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Say, I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. He says, haven't become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles in Christ. What's the blessing? That we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. So the blessing of Abraham was the promise of the Spirit through faith, not lands. Are you seeing this? The physical lands, okay, the Canaan, okay, those lands playing with milk and honey were typologies. Remember I told you what typologies are, right? Typologies are persons, places, events, things, amen, names in the Old Testament that talk about Jesus, okay, or the new covenant, the work of Christ, his finished work in the New Testament. Amen. So they are in the Old Testament and they point to the New Testament. So those physical lands, okay, were typologies of the spiritual. Look at Hebrews 11. You know, some people today want to say Abraham's verses are mine. They're thinking of oil rings. Amen. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 8. He says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Follow closely. What's that place? And he went out not knowing where he was going. Follow closely. Verse 9. By faith, he dwelled in the land of promise as what? In a foreign country. Do you see that? So the land he went to, he dwelt there like a foreigner. Follow closely, okay? Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he waited, you see that? For the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So even when Abraham was in Canaan, Abraham knew that this was not the land God promised. I seen this. He dwelt then. The reason why Abraham dwelt in tents, okay? You know, Abraham never built a structure to live in. He kept moving about because he knew that this land is not the land. Hallelujah. He knew. He says he waited for a city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This city referred to here cannot be a physical city. Amen. It will be spiritual. Amen. Not physical. Hallelujah. Amen. A city not of this world. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13 of the same passage. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Do you see that? They died in faith, not having received what? The promises. Do you see that? Did Abraham receive the promise? Huh? Did Abraham receive the promise? Abraham's blessing is mine. Did he receive the promise? He says they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Do you see that? Were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Do you see this? This already tells you that land was not the issue. Right? It says they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hallelujah. So lands were not the issue. It was referring to something more spiritual. Verse 14, it says, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. So if, you know, it's very funny. If you say you are already at home and you are seeking a home, you know that home is not your home. Are you following this? Okay, verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16. But now they desire a what? A better, hallelujah, that is a heavenly country. Amen. Do you see it wasn't land? Do you see? Okay, your children will inherit the earth, not land. Are you following this? Okay, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared what? A city for them. Hallelujah. A physical city? Huh? Look at the next chapter. You see the city. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Hallelujah. It says, the heavenly Jerusalem, to assembly and what? And what? The church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, verse 24, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks what? Better things, hallelujah, than that of Abel. Amen. So the city that Abraham and the Jewish fathers looked forward to is what? The church. It wasn't lands. Those lands were pictures, okay? Imageries, figures of speech, typologies to point to the spiritual. So Abraham knew in Canaan that this is not the land. He knew. Amen. By faith, he looked ahead. Hallelujah. That was a promise made to the fathers. Are you following this? Are you following this? Now, obviously, because the church is a new creation reality, they could never have gotten that promise if they died. Right? Remember, the church will be born out of the resurrection of the Christ. Amen? So, they didn't get that promise. Look at Hebrews 11, just the previous chapter, verse 39. It says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. You see that? Do you understand why? Okay. Verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Do you see that? Do you see that? So, what God promised them was the church, but they've not received that promise yet. Amen? We have. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, this is what God promised, okay, the Jewish fathers, and he has fulfilled in his mercy and his truth. Hallelujah. You know, these promises have been fulfilled in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. It says, for all, hallelujah, the promises of God in him there is Jesus, are yes, hallelujah, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us, amen. So all the promises of God have been fulfilled. That's what it's saying there. Jesus Christ is now the Amen. He is the fulfillment of all the promises of God made to the fathers. Are you seeing this? Look at Acts 2. Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children. Do you see that? What's the promise? Remission of sins and what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you following this? Okay? And to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 6. Paul, you know, he was standing before King Agrippa and he explains that the promise, okay, this promise made to the fathers was fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Look at Acts 26, verse 6. It says, and now I stand, and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. You see that? Verse 7. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God day and night, hope to attain. You see that? So the Jews are trying to get what God has given freely in Christ. You see that? Earnestly serving God day and night, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Verse 8. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Do you see that? So, the promise is fulfilled where? In the resurrection. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, the new covenant is an offshoot of God's faithfulness. The new covenant is an offshoot of God's faithfulness. Okay, so just like God's faithfulness, this new covenant and his blessings last forever. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Isaiah 54, verse 1. It says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with children. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." Verse 2. "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." Verse 3. "For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations." Remember, keep your eyes on what? The spiritual. Remember, keep your eyes on what? The spiritual. "And make the desolate cities inhabited." Verse 4. "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will forget the reproach of your widowhood anymore." And you will not, pardon me, remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. "For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." Verse 6. "For the Lord has called you like a woman, forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says the Lord." Verse 7. "For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies," you see that? "I will gather you." Verse 8. "With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness," you see that? "Everlasting kindness I'll have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer." Obviously, this is a messianic prophecy, right? Speaking concerning the future. "For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah will no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I will no longer be angry with you, nor rebuke you." Do you see that? Verse 10. "For the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you." Hallelujah. Amen. So he talks about the new covenant, right? He says it will not be removed. Can we say everlasting? Can we say lasting forever? Okay. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Still looking at the new covenant. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was husband to them, says the Lord." Verse 33. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 34. Shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me." Hallelujah. "From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Hallelujah. So in the new covenant, sins are forgiven faithfully. Are you following this? Okay? Sins are forgiven faithfully. Now, what would faithfully mean? Till the very end. Are you following this? Past, present, and future sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. All the sins are forgiven. Look at Isaiah 2. Say, "My sins are forgiven." Say, "My sins are forgiven." Look at Isaiah 2, verse 19. It says, "I will betroth you to me forever." Do you see that? "Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy." Do you see that again? "I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." Hallelujah. In this new covenant, there is now an eternal union between God, okay, and the men in Christ. Hallelujah. There is now an eternal union between God and the men in Christ. That's what betrothed means, okay? Amen. We are now his bride, and that marriage lasts forever. Hallelujah. The new covenant is everlasting. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 16. Are you here so far? Did I lose you? Okay. Ezekiel 16, verse 60. He says, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Do you see that again? Okay? So, this is his faithfulness which lasts forever. Amen? The new covenant is an offshoot. Remember I said that? Is an offshoot of the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Amen? Just like his character, the new covenant lasts forever. Amen? So, you know, to say that salvation can be lost or that the new covenant can be somehow cancelled, you know, it's funny. Because you're basically saying God is unfaithful. Amen? Say he's faithful. Say he's faithful. Hallelujah. So, salvation is sure because God can be trusted. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews 7, 25. Hebrews 7:25. He says, therefore, he is able, say he's able, hallelujah, to save to the uttermost. The word uttermost means to the very end. Can we say faithfully? Remember what faithfully means, right? Can we say that? Huh? Now I'm asking a question. Can we say faithfully? Okay, to the very end, right? Okay. Those who come to God through him, hallelujah. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Do you see that? So forever. Say I'm saved forever. Say I'm saved forever. Look at John 6. John 6:37. John 6:37. It says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Hallelujah. He will keep us. Amen. He will keep us. Say he keeps us. Look at Jude. Jude 1:24. It says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So he saves us and he keeps us saved. Amen. So say I'm saved forever. Say I'm saved forever. Say, this is a result of the faithfulness of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, he says he will save us and he can be trusted to carry out that promise. Amen. Now, it is in connection with this also that God's faithfulness is closely related with his righteousness. Remember, we've seen that his mercy, right, and his faithfulness are closely related in the Old Testament. Also, his faithfulness and his righteousness are also closely related in the Old Testament. You would observe that in the Old Testament, God is always or often called righteous. Now, why is he called righteous? He's called righteous because he comes to save or help his people. Look at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 verse 10. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my word, righteous right hand. Do you see that? Okay. Isaiah 42, the next chapter, verse 6. Isaiah 42, verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, verse 7, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Now, obviously, this is referring to Jesus, right? Okay, a messianic scripture concerning Jesus, okay? So, God as righteous is a good thing for his people. You know, when you hear today in the churches that God is righteous, you might be tempted to see it as a negative thing. But no, God's righteousness is a good thing. Amen. Amen. It means when God is called righteous for his people, it means that he vindicates them. Hallelujah. Okay? That is why the righteousness of God, you see in the Old Testament, was often used to invoke, the righteousness of God was invoked for a cry of help unto God. Look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 1. He says, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let him never be ashamed. Deliver me in your what? Your righteousness. Do you see that? Okay. Now, this, having seen all of this, it would be a logical conclusion to say that the righteousness of God is often associated with the mercy and the grace of God, because the righteousness of God is that character of God that vindicates his people. Amen? That rushes to help them. Okay? Look at Psalm 36, verse 5. Are you here so far? Okay. Psalm 36, verse 5. It says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Verse 6. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgment are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Do you see that? His righteousness is associated with his mercy and his grace. Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 14. Psalm 89, verse 14. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Hallelujah. Amen. So, God's righteousness is associated with his mercy and his grace. Now, God's righteousness is also associated with his faithfulness. Look at Zechariah. Zechariah 8, verse 8. Zechariah 8, verse 8. It says, I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth. Can we say faithfulness? Remember? Right? Truth there, emeth, right? Faithfulness and righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen? So, his righteousness, or his, yeah, his righteousness is also associated with his faithfulness. Look at Psalm 40, verse 10. Psalm 40, verse 10. It says, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. Do you see that again? I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do you see that again? So, righteousness is associated with faithfulness. Amen. So, you see that God's righteousness was often combined in the Old Testament with his faithfulness. Now, he is called righteous because he is faithful. Amen. He rushes to aid those who are in distress. Amen. He rushes to aid or give assistance to those who are in distress. Even when Israel kept sinning, he remained faithful. Hallelujah. He remained faithful and true to his promise. You know, and he didn't rest till he fulfilled his commitment to them. So, God is the best picture of faithfulness the Bible has to offer. Hallelujah. God is the best picture of faithfulness that the Bible has to offer. And that's why emeth, okay, truth is used for him. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. Hallelujah. Is that fair? Is that fair? So, let's go back to where we were. That was a digression. Going back to where we were. Hallelujah. Okay. So, it makes sense that that word emeth is used for God, right? Okay, look at Psalm 71. Verse 22. Psalm 21, verse 22. It says, also with the lute I will praise you, and your faithfulness, O my God. You see that again. To you I will sing with the harp. Look at Psalm 117. Psalm 117, verse 2. It says, for his mercy, his merciful kindness, pardon me, is great toward us, and the truth, or the faithfulness of the Lord, endures forever. Hallelujah. Amen. His trustworthiness endures forever. Hallelujah. Now, of course, that word emeth was also used for men. Okay? It was also used for men, particularly leaders and workers among God's people. Look at Nehemiah 7. Nehemiah 7, verse 1. Nehemiah 7, verse 1. It says, then it was, when the wall was built, and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites had been appointed, verse 2, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Anani and Ananiah, the leader of the citadel. For what? He was a faithful man. Do you see that? Do you see that? Why were they giving leadership roles? Because they were seen or judged as faithful. Do you see that? Are you here? Okay? And feared God more than many. Amen. So, this refers to one that can be trusted. Okay? He was to be put in charge, and it was his faithfulness was a criteria. Are you following this? Are you sure? Look at Exodus 18, verse 21. Exodus 18, verse 21. Hallelujah. He says, moreover, now remember this story, right? Jethro, Abraham's father-in-law, Abraham, oh my God, Moses, right? Imagine Jethro, Abraham's father-in-law. Moses' father-in-law, you know, he came around, right? And then he saw how Moses spent most of his days, you know, just ruling over the people, judging over the people. And he said, what you're doing is not good. You will wear yourself out. So he says, pick for your men, for yourself, faithful men, right? That can be able to, you can delegate, you know, responsibilities to this one can do this, this one can do that, you know, while the more serious matters, they take it to you. Okay? So that's the background, amen, of this. Now look at verse 21. It says, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men. Now observe that able men was not all that was required. Do you see that? Not only capabilities. You know, some people make that mistake. You want to pick leaders, and you look, probably you want to pick someone in the choir, and you look for someone who can reach the 10th octave. Amen? But that person can reach the 10th octave, but will not show up in church. Amen? So, we're giving you problems, but it's talented. No. He says, able men, okay, such as fear God, men of truth. Do you see that? Do you see that? Men of truth, aiding covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So he says to pick leaders, they should be what? Men of truth. Or we can say men of faithfulness. That's the word he meant. Okay? Faithful men. Are you following this? Are you following this? You must never put an unfaithful person in leadership. Amen? Never. I know what I'm telling you. Never. Amen? Okay, it doesn't matter how talented the person is. Amen? They will fail you. Amen? Men of truth. What did I say? Men of truth. Men of faithfulness. You know, we also have records of people walking faithfully or walking in faithfulness, okay, in the Old Testament. This will refer to those who conducted their lives, okay, in faithfulness or faithfully. Okay, it will refer to how they conducted their lives. Are you here? Hey, look at 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3, verse 6. 1 Kings 3, verse 6. It says, and Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, or in emet, in faithfulness. Do you see that? Do you see that? So, David walked in truth. Look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings 20, verse 3. 2 Kings 20, verse 3. You remember this story, right? Ezekiah's popular prayer. His famous prayer. It says, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I walked before you in truth. Do you see that? In faithfulness and with a loyal heart. And I've done what was good in your sight. And Ezekiah wept bitterly. Amen? So, it showed how he walked in truth. Now, you will find how, you know, King Ezekiah walked in faithfulness towards the Lord. You see that in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 20. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 20. It says, thus, Ezekiah did throughout all Judea, and he did what was good and right and true. Do you see that? Before the Lord is God, right and faithful. Okay? You see in the next chapter that in verse 1, that's 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1, it says, after these deeds of faithfulness, describing Ezekiah, right? reading in context from the previous chapter. It says, after these deeds of faithfulness, we can say of King Hezekiah. Okay? So, Hezekiah was faithful. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. 1 Samuel 12:24. It says, only fear the Lord. Now, Prophet Samuel is talking here. And serve him in truth or in faithfulness. You see that? With all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. So here, Prophet Samuel instructs the people to serve God in faithfulness, in truth, in emeth. Look at Joshua. Joshua 2, verse 14. Joshua 2, verse 14. Now remember this story, right? The spies went to Jericho to spy the land, and they were rescued or kept safe by a harlot, amen, called Rahab. Amen. Now, they spoke to her. So her there would be Rahab, okay? It says, so the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, and we will deal kindly and truly with you. The word truly there is a myth. Okay? Deal kindly and faithfully with you. And they fulfilled this promise in chapter 6, verse 22. Chapter 6, verse 22. It says, but Joshua had said to the two spies who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you what? As you what? Swore to her. Do you see that? Do you see that? So, what is their faithfulness? Doing what they swore to her, accomplishing it. Do you see that? Fulfilling their commitment to Rahab. Are you following this? Look at verse 23. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father and her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all the relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. Verse 24. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Verse 25. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot. Do you see that? And all that she had. And she dwells in Israel to this day. Do you see that? Because she hid now till that day, right? Okay, thank you. Did you get that? No, she's no longer alive. Okay. Because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out the land. So they made a promise to Rahab, and they kept that promise. That's faithfulness. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Okay? So we've seen that this word emeth describes that aspect of faithfulness that does not pretend and does not tell lies. Amen? It means what it says and it does. Okay? Emeth doesn't tell lies. It says what it means and it means what it says. Hallelujah. Amen. So, how many words have we seen so far? Are you sure? We've seen Emuna, right? Last week. After that, what else did we see? Aman, right? Next, Emeth, right? Now, fourthly and lastly, the last Hebrew word used for faithfulness in the Old Testament is the word Emun. E-M-E-E-M-U-N. E-M-U-N. Emun. Amen? As we begin to close. Emun. So, you know, if you are writing, you know, you should write a subheading, right? Okay, thank you. Now, that word immune is actually derived from Alman, which we saw earlier. It's derived from Alman, which we saw earlier. It means trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. Now, that word was used 5 times in the Old Testament. Okay? 5 times in the Old Testament. Now, we'll look at where it was used. We'll run through now. Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. Now, it talks about Israel. It says, and he said to them, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children, in whom there is no faith. Do you see that? Children in whom, you can underline that in your Bible, children in whom is no faith. That the word faith there is the word immune. Okay? Children in whom there is no faithfulness. Hallelujah. So, this is a rebuke against the children of Israel. They are called what? Unfaithful. Are you following so far? Look at Proverbs. Proverbs 13, verse 17. Proverbs 13, verse 17. It says, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. A faithful ambassador brings health. So, a faithful servant is health. Amen. Profitable and a source of joy to his master. Such a one is trustworthy. Are you following this? Are you following this? Look at Proverbs 14, verse 5. Proverbs 14, verse 5. It says, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. You see that again? So, an unfaithful person can be spotted in his words. Amen? He cannot be trusted to say what happened as it is. Amen? Such a person cannot be trusted. Amen? You know, let me say this. Don't cultivate the habit of lying to your pastor. Amen? Be truthful. Hallelujah. Be someone whose words can be trusted. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, simple examples. You know, pastor, you are sleeping, okay, in your house. You know there is church soon. You're sleeping. And pastor calls you and says, Sister Jane, where are you? Ah, pastor, I'm on my way. Don't worry. I'm on my way. No, in 5 minutes, I'll be there. You know, your house is 1 hour to church. It will take you 30 minutes to get a cab. Meaning, when you get the cab, you still need 30 minutes before you get to church. So, you need 1 hour before you get to church. That's 1 hour, 30 minutes. You lie. Say, no, Apostle, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. You know, untruthful. Amen? You don't be such a person. Be someone that when you say, Pastor, I'm on my way, Pastor knows that this Sister Jane is on her way. Not that we'll be praying in tongues. I hope she didn't lose her road. She did not misplace as she was going. You know, she is coming. Hallelujah. Amen? You know, that's the first thing I remember. A minister told us, you know, about someone, you know, in back there for a boss. Amen? And the person says, I will give the money. Amen? I shall supply according to my riches and glory. Said, my father is a wealthy man. And, okay, so he said, oh, that's great. So we don't have to bother about contributing anymore. Now, on the day the boss was needed, said, oh, Sister Jane, where's the money you said you were going to give us for the boss? I will supply, sir. No, the money is coming. No, she never gave it. Unfaithful. Amen? Unfaithful. Don't, you know, such people should not be trusted with any form of responsibility. Amen? Unfaithful. Be someone whose words can be trusted. Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 20. That was where I was heading. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Proverbs 20, verse 6. It says, most men were here last week will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Do you see that? Do you see that? Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? That is, every man will claim to be faithful. But faithful men are actually rare to find. Are you seeing this? So, although faithfulness is found in his words, it is not limited to words alone. Amen? Although faithfulness is found in words, faithfulness is not limited to words alone. Faithfulness, is seen in words and actions. Hallelujah. That is, you consistently do and say the same things. Hallelujah. So, your words and your actions must be trustworthy. What I say? Your words and your actions must be trustworthy. Amen. I like how the New Living Translation puts Proverbs 20 verse 6. It says, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? I come again with that. Many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? So it is those who are there in time of need who are those who are actually faithful. Amen? Those who are there in time of need are those who are actually faithful. Now, I said it as we began this teaching, that an unfaithful person has 1,001 reasons why he cannot be faithful. Amen? An unfaithful person has 1,001 reasons why I cannot be faithful. Give different reasons. In fact, you will almost feel like speaking in tongues. Yeah. The car of my mom landed on top of a trailer. You know, very, very strange. Landed on top of my trailer and a bird took the car away. So I couldn't come to church. No, very skillful. They can give excuses. Why were you not in church? I was sick. Amen. Why were you not in church? I was tired. Amen. Why were you not in church? I traveled. Why were you not in church? It rained. Remember, I used to tell you, the raining excuse for me, it doesn't hold water. No, that is no pun intended. Amen. But you know, it doesn't hold water. I used to ask, you are an husband. Your husband, if your wife is pregnant, okay, she's in labor, she's shouting in the house, "Hey, help me!" Amen. And it's raining. You say, "Oh, it's raining. Oh no, it's raining. I cannot take my wife to the hospital." Is that what you say? You know, or you are in labor. There's nobody in the house. Say, "I don't want the rain to touch me." You know? You know, or you hear a news that your sister just got involved in an accident and she's in the hospital in critical condition. Okay? And it's raining. You will run, oh. In fact, when you won't feel the rain. It will be, come on. Or you have the one you can relate to, you have a test and it's raining. I know that kind of lecturer, there's nothing you will say. It's not going to make you retake the test. Okay? And it's raining. No, my skin is too delicate. You find your way, right? So all it then shows that your issue is priority. Right? You give 1,001 reasons why you cannot be faithful. That is unfaithful. That's it. You're unfaithful. And for me, over the years, well, this is what I'll just do, you know. When I observe that you are very unfaithful, okay, you always like to give, and you will not unfaithful with the excuses. Remember, I told you, I'll just be observing you. I won't say anything. They will say, Pastor, you know, some people, if you want to check my phone, you know, when I want to check for them, I can just say, please, sir. Amen. Or, excuse me, sir, I cannot. That's why their name will just come out. Amen. You know, sorry, sir, I could not make it. You know, I could not. Sorry, sir, I'm sorry, sir, maybe another time. You know, once I see you like that, I'll just say, okay. I won't say anything. I'll say, okay, it's fine. It's fine. You know? Sorry, sir. Okay. Sorry, sir, I could not make it. So, okay. Something happened. Okay. My continuous okay should let you know there's a problem with you. Do you understand? I won't say anything. Okay? You're unfaithful. Amen? You're unfaithful. Amen. If there is priority, you will find a way around it. It's just priority. Amen. Amen. So I wrote here that a person continually giving excuses cannot be trusted in this church, nor by its leaders. Let me make that very clear. Okay? A person who continually gives excuses every time, cannot be trusted in this church or by its leaders. Amen. Are you following this? Now, lastly, the word immune is used in Isaiah 26 verse 2. Say I'm faithful. Say I'm a faithful man. Say I can be relied upon. Say it like you mean. Say I can be relied upon. Say I'm trustworthy in the name of Jesus. Look at Isaiah 26 verse 2. It says, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter. The word truth there is immune. Okay? The righteous nation which keeps faithfulness may enter. Now, in context, this refers to the godly Jews. You know, they had been in captivity in Babylon and they remained faithful to God in captivity and they were returning in peace to their own nation. Amen? So, it refers to those people who were faithful to God even in captivity. Amen? In Babylon. Hallelujah. So, they are called those or the righteous nation which keeps the truth. So now, having observed the four major words used for faithfulness in the Old Testament, we can come to this conclusion. Remember, we've seen immune, right? We've seen our man, right? We've seen, what's the next one? Emeth, right? We've seen immune. Amen? Now, all these words coming together will give us a picture of what faithfulness is. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is steadiness of character. Steadiness of character and loyalty towards a cause till the very end. Steadiness is steadiness of character and loyalty towards a cause till the very end. Emuna, right? Right? Okay. Now, it is more than mere words, although it includes words. It is more than mere words, although it includes words. It is words and actions which stem from a true heart. It is words and actions which stem from a true heart. Faithfulness is to be lasting, not given to change. Therefore, you can be trusted. That's the word Alman. Remember? To be lasting, not given to change. Therefore, you can be trusted. Your character of loyalty to a person or to a cause does not fluctuate. Your character of loyalty to a person or to a cause does not fluctuate. You are secure enough to be trusted. Are you following this? You are secure enough to be trusted. You know, this characteristic is pleasing to your leaders. This characteristic is pleasing to your leaders. In our case, your pastor and to God. Hallelujah. Okay? Faithfulness would also refer to that quality of being true. That quality of being true. You mean what you say and what you do. Amen. You are not a hypocrite. You are real. Amen. When you say, I love my church, you mean it. Hallelujah. When you say, I'm committed to my pastor, you mean it. Hallelujah. You know, this doesn't mean that your church is perfect. You know, some people think that faithfulness is only towards what is good. You know, when somebody is good, you can be good towards the person, you know, faithful. But when somebody has weaknesses, no. It means sometimes, you know, church is not always perfect. Amen? You know, it means sometimes. It means sometimes, you know, pastor might even annoy you. Amen. Do you know what I said? Sometimes pastor might annoy you. If we say some words, he will do some things that you don't like. But faithfulness is to remain as you are. Trustworthy, loyal, regardless of him. That's faithfulness. Amen. Okay? So, in faithfulness, you are not double-tongued. You are not double-tongued or two-faced. You are not pretentious, okay, or hypocritical. Amen? Just like Yahweh, you are reliable. Your yes is yes. Okay? There is no hidden agenda because the words you say or the things you do. Let me come again with that. There is no hidden agenda in the words you say and the things you do because you mean the words you say and the things you do. Hallelujah. And lastly, faithfulness means you are trustworthy in your service to this church. It means you are trustworthy in your service to this church. That's immune, right? You are not one always giving excuses for why you cannot be faithful. You are truly reliable, whether it is convenient or not. That's what faithfulness means. Told you, don't be a Christian who gives reasons why you cannot be faithful. It's a bad character. Disloyalty is a bad character. Don't do it. Amen. Okay, find a way around it every time to ensure you're always faithful. Amen. In your commitment to this church, in your commitment to the leader, okay, in this church, okay, ensure you are always faithful. Remember, God expects that you be faithful. Let me say it as well, that your pastor also expects that you be faithful. Amen. No, that's how we'll reach the world. That's how we'll impact our society with the gospel. You know, in being reliable with and in the things of God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Lift your hands and